You're about to listen to the Reverend Tolu Alogo Agboola, who is the set man of His Worship Christian Network Global, and has been given the Word of Truth mandate amongst other mandates in order to teach the church and raise true worshipers. Now, Reverend Tolu Alogo Agboola.
From your heart, Pastor dear.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed after thee, and you alone, you alone, hearts desire and I long to worship you.
In 3 minutes, it's too loud. In 3 minutes, I want us to just connect with the Lord. It's not regular service. It's just a burden from the Lord to bring us into a place where many will rise after the order that God has defined for us. So I want you to ask that you will be gifted this morning the capacity to bear these weights in the spirit. Capacity. That's the cry. I can't hear the sound of prayer. Yes. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. The Lord holds back when he senses the absence of bearing capacity. And this morning we want to say unto the Lord, gift us this capacity. There are things we need to know now. There are things we need to begin to work in now. We ask that there will be a communication of bearing capacity. A communication of bearing capacity. A communication of bearing capacity. That in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be able to step into that which God has ordained. We receive grace. We receive grace. We receive grace. Rekote kaskai tabakakado. Elando kamote masata bakai to credia skata paria kotoniosta bento kambeska biande komikatande bakai rakos atatata kaba babahaya ikokomia neketodia kambia seponia. Yes, we receive grace to bear, grace to bear, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus precious name we have prayed. So Father, we approach unto you this morning that you will not hold back your communications from us. You will expressly speak, we will expressly hear, and we will expressly understand. That this morning, beyond the communication of a script, we ask that men will embody the weights with which you have sent us to, or prescribed for us to live in this season. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I have prayed. You may please be seated. I'm still running my conference sermons in the Loring. I had a session last night, had to drive into town this morning, and I trust Jesus to still go back to Ilorin to teach this evening before we begin the contact session tomorrow. Let me begin this way. When God sends you to learn from a man, you will be wise to try to embody all that God allows to be visible to you of his life. I'm going to say that again. When God sends you to learn from a man, I believe that you necessarily do not fellowship in the place where you were saved. But there is a reason why God allocates men to men, either people who follow to a leader or people who lead to followers. And it is because there is a synergy, a fellowship of spiritual reality that is supposed to bring the best of God out of each of them. So if I am leading you, you may not have the opportunity too many times to teach me things, but your hunger is supposed to draw virtue out of me. Are you with me? So that I begin to pick up instructions in God that I may not have needed to pick up, but now I need to pick them up because you need to be fed. And it becomes ultimately my advantage. Some of the conferences I've been called to preach in have been God's tools of opening my eyes to certain scriptures that I will not have entered into if I didn't have those topics. But just as this synergy is designed to benefit the one who leads, it is also designed to benefit those who follow. And I'm saying that beyond the things they teach, there is a life that is also supposed to instruct us, especially if we perceive that God would want us to walk in certain things that they work in. I am a workaholic. It shows that if you desire, I've not started ministry. I've said it so much that my startup is actually after my 40th birthday, which is just 2 months away, thereabout. When God sent me, he showed me a deficit of spiritual knowledge in the body of Christ. Because when the Bible began to apportion reasons for perishing, one of the reasons that scriptures apportioned was the lack of knowledge. It means that even though Jesus has perfected his sacrifice, the people of the Christ will still not be far away from wasting away if they do not embody knowledge. Are you with me? It's wasting because the enemy is strong, but because the church is not as informed. There is a fountain that ensures that the communication of life is sustained to the one who has come into the kingdom of God. And the Bible makes us know that that fountain is not kept with men. Even the way I'm talking, I want you to be learning. Because every statement I'm making is drawn from a verse of scripture. There is such a fountain. And the Bible says that that fountain is not with you. It's not with me. It says, with thee, O Lord, are the fountains of life, and in thy light shall we see light. You need to understand the kind of system that we were under before we got saved. The Bible says in Colossians 1:13 that he has delivered us from the power of what? The power of what? It means that God's most dominant manifestation of life is light. And the enemy's most dominant manifestation of death is what? Is darkness. So when you come into God's kingdom, you must labor into light. Largely in the body of Christ, there's no light. Now, we have a problem. And the problem is that every church service that we approach onto is designed to deliver some kind of instruction in the name of what we call a sermon. So when an unlighted man is given the privilege to preach, what he communicates is darkness. Necessity makes him function but the people are not blessed. And the average person who has the privilege maybe to minister, whether physically or online, a recording or whatever, many of them do not labor into light. It is difficult to unveil scriptures because it is a sealed book. You need help. But because you need help, that help is not stirred when you want it. I need to share these things with you. So when you have finished your allotted time of study, you must understand that you are at the mercy of the coming of the helper. Unfortunately, the helper is a king spirit, so he doesn't come when you want him to come. He does all things according to the counsel of his own will. So if you ask him for help, he will make himself available, but when he wants to make himself available. So when you have finished your allocated time, you will need to wait. What ends your study is that he comes. Are you with me? Everything you write within that period of your study that was outside the time of his visitation is not called revelation. You just wrote mysteries down. So we have many who have gained mastery of teaching mysteries because we like the name mystery. What does mystery mean? Something that is sealed. A mystery doesn't mean something people have not heard before. It just means it's sealed. So when that kind of minister preaches, he does more damage to the heart. This person came with a question, he goes back with 20 questions because this teacher is a mystery preacher. He didn't sit until there was an unveiling. Are you with me? So that's what we need. I found out that in the last few conferences I have gone for, I have used simple scriptures to be able to bring things to light. For example, this evening I'm teaching on the shapes of the kingdom, and that looks mysterious, but I'm just sitting on three verses. The kingdom of God was well defined in scriptures. One of the verses says that the kingdom of God is not in eating or drinking, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if we give you a pen to sketch the kingdom of God, must not capture eating and drinking inside your drawing, because the kingdom is not like that. It is shaped in joy in the Holy Ghost. It means if all you say is, oh, when you give a shout and people shout, say the kingdom is joy, you can manufacture joy outside of the Holy Ghost. That's a simple scripture. I can teach on that subject in 30 minutes because all that adjoining scriptures will come in. The Bible also says the kingdom of God is not in words. It's supposed to end with an impartation service. The Bible says the kingdom of God is also in power. So what is power? It's the communication of the supernatural abilities of the Christ by the Holy Spirit, and we refer to that communication as the communication of the gifts of the Spirit. That's power. So that will take us to Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where we find out the protocols of receiving power. And then I don't need to do anything. If I lay it out that way, he will come. Because everywhere the word of God is preached, the power of God goes to validate what they are doing. So once some people seek power, if you stay with the word, the power will come to validate it. Amen. So we don't need, I want to disabuse our mind that, because my subject is the faithful teacher of the word. That's my subject for this month. The faithful teacher of the word. You were not called to the spooky. You were not called to the obscure. You were called as a teacher to bring clarity. The assignment of a preacher is to declare God is good. When a teacher comes, the assignment of the teacher is to explain so that people come into the understanding of what we mean that God is good. So every time your teaching ministry, or in every season that it begins to communicate more confusion than clarity, then you are no longer a good teacher. Let's go into the word of God. When I was drawing my conclusions, I'm saying that you must have seen that I'm a workaholic of some sort. How do I have time to prepare my sermons? yesterday into this morning, it was quite a lot of pondering about contact, because I'm teaching tomorrow. I'm actually teaching till Saturday. Tomorrow, two sermons. Thursday, two sermons. Friday, one sermon. Saturday, two sermons. And I have to be back here on Sunday to teach again. Now, how do I find time? It's the simple art of meditation. So, a teacher of the word who takes the path of meditation will be able to make good use of the word of God. Now, when I speak of meditation, it's not just muttering the word under your breath. It is the fleshing out of scriptures. That I give you an onion, and then you understand that an onion is actually a layered, is onion fruit. Where are the Greek people? He said, it's what? Eh? It's a vegetable. Okay. So, you know what the onion looks like. It is shaped to be layered. Are you with me? In the same way the onion shows, because the things of God, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, the invisible things of God have been made clear by the things that we see. So, just like you go to the market, you buy maybe 100 naira onion, that may be just two or three small pieces now. You must understand that the onion is layered. So, when we bring the word of God forth, what each of us is laboring to do is to take off as many covers as possible, so that people are closer to the core. Are you with me? So, how you will rate us in depth of teaching is not the big things people say, but in how close to the core of the onion you bring your audience. Are you with me? So can stay with one scripture. I was teaching yesterday. My subject was Thy Kingdom Come, and I said to them, let's start from the beginning of the verse. Jesus prayed. They saw him. They said, teach us. Good. Luke 11:2 says, say, our Father which art in heaven. So I told them that in prayers we encounter many faces of God, but the most profitable face of God in prayer is the fatherhood of God. So a non-believer can say, Lord, save me. God, save me, and God will save him. But that salvation does not bring him into save him from trouble. Because a father-son relationship is the greatest platform for prayer. When God shows up as a father, prayer must be directed towards him. Two, prayer is directed towards heaven. So the consciousness of what is going on around you is not designed to be strong in prayer. I'm still in one verse of scripture. I'm trying to unlock the covers. Three, is that when God shows up, if the assignment is prayer, and God shows up as Father, and you direct your prayers towards heaven, there is a posture of engagement in prayer, and it is reverence. Hallowed be thy name. This revealed character as a father must be revered. What's the next thing? It means when you have engaged by reverence, the face of God changes instantly. Who does he become? He becomes a king instantly. And when he becomes a king, you must switch your courtesies in prayer. Because when he shows up as a father, you become a son. When he shows up as a king, you become his subject. So the rest of prayer, adoration is to a father. Petition is to a king. So you only bring before him the things that are captured in his will. So what I did yesterday was to stay on one verse for about 1 hour, 10 minutes. Because my assignment is not... you get to a point in preaching that you are not trying to prove any point. And that's how the teaching enterprise is supposed to begin. That you are not trying to prove that you know, because that's not the purpose of the gathering. The purpose of the gathering is that you take away as many covers as possible, so that God's truth, which is in the core of the mysterious, can be seen. Are you with me? Okay. So, I'm saying, as I travel, I put scriptures in my heart and I'm meditating. There's a way to use your mind to unlock scriptures. You will be a master of comprehension and not a master of revelation. So there are activities that you must cause to collide with the onion. If you keep an onion on this place, last, because of changing weather, you know, onions have a semi-permeable kind of membrane in structure. It means if there's a flu in the atmosphere, if you keep an onion, it will attract it. So you will need to consciously remove the covers with your hand. There is a hand that removes the covers. It's the hand of the Holy Spirit. So in meditation, so that you don't enter error, you will need to engage the Spirit. And what we do is to use the other channels of engagement to interact. So to some people, God has given sound as the hand that takes it off. That as you're pondering the word of God in your heart, there is a background sound that helps you take off your layers. Sometimes it's prayer. So on that one verse, it might be 2 minutes, 3 minutes in tongues. Every little tongue session takes away covers, brings you new scriptures to help you understand what you are doing. Are you with me? I want us to listen again and again and then begin to practice these things. There are not many teachers in the body. It means that the body of Christ is largely still an ignorant body. Amen. So, I want us to be attentive. In your little, maybe your lot is morning devotion with your roommate, or you have a group that you are ministering to, begin to apply these things. That's how we meditate. One verse has the ability to network itself because it's a self-networking word. If you have been in church for long, even if you have not memorized a lot of scriptures, when you are studying one, another scripture enters your mind. You may not know it in full. So you will need probably a Bible that has a concordance, or you can go to Google and just type, maybe what you heard was, in him was life. You just write, in him was life, and then write Bible verse. It comes out instantly. So none of us is without excuse. And when you read that new verse, you find out, okay, it better explains this one, and then we begin to journey. So a teacher of scripture is a hard worker. It's a hard worker. That's one of your foundational definitions. It's a hard worker. It means you must spend quality time, not just in sitting down, but in carrying the verse of scripture around your head. So when I came this morning, we dropped our son in school, and I was in the car for about 20 minutes to rearrange my script. This script. Okay, I have these pieces, which verse of scripture, and all of that. And that was it. That's been it. I've not even entered anything that is in my notes yet. The reason why I talk off my notes like this is because there is a labor that has instructed my mind. It has become natural to teach the word. Are you with me? So that even if I sit down with you and you are doing something I think I need to correct, I will bring a scripture readily to say, this thing you are doing will not cause it. Don't act like that because of... Are you with me? So, please understand that nobody will be able to teach well who has not decided to choose the path of labor. You will read the Bible. You will listen to the Bible. You will meditate on scriptures. You will take notes when there's no sermon to preach. And you will go through your notes again. When you were writing it, it will be sweet. You think you are revelatory. When you begin to go through it again, you find out that you're about to be the next heretic on the stage. That the things you are sharing don't obey the spirit of scriptures. And you will be sincere to cancel it. Because one of the handles for the accurate teaching ministry is a handle of compassion. Let me say it to Yoruba. Eyan kin koro Olorun ti o ba laanu awon eyan lokan. You are compassionate. You don't want them to come into error. You don't want them to fail. You want to be able to labor to a point where they are helped. So the need to help is one posture or one desire that is in the heart of a teacher of scriptures. When it becomes, let me share something with you. I'll blow your mind. When it becomes blowing people's mind, you have stepped out of your safe zone. You can say anything in blowing people's mind. And anyway, some of us know that you don't know enough. Many of the things that people say, that guy blew my mind. What I'm asking my mind is, have you been to church at all? There are a few new things. When I listen to my spiritual father, Apostle Lumer does not teach new things. The Bible is teaching. There are things that he says that give you deeper life. But it's not like he says something and you're wondering. No, because I've been in church. As a matter of fact, my spiritual father in Nigeria is one of the masters of repetition. He says the same thing. Sometimes it's like he's preaching the same whole sermon. Even his examples will be the same. And you're wondering, okay, I know this story. You can finish the story for him. He's not afraid. Because he understands that the teaching ministry is to ensure that your hearers gravitate from the mysterious into the plain. May God send us help in Jesus' name. As we continue, I want you to journey in conviction. And if the Lord begins to point out to you things that you need to personally do in your own teaching ministry, it will be wisdom that you put those things in a box in your note. I expect everybody should have a note. In a box in your note, as the things you urgently need to work on a personal note. Everybody. All right. So let's now get into the meat before we end up with the bone of this teaching. So what we have done is the milk of this session. The faithful teacher of the word. Now, in the New Testament expression, Paul advertises three badges that every true minister of Christ must wear. Three badges. Whether you are called into the apostolic ministry, or the prophetic, or the evangelistic, or the pastoral, or the teaching ministry, whether you are called into the ministry of administrations or help, whatever your calling is, if your assignment is to minister, and by ministry, there are two things basically that we expect you should be engaged in. One is that you are serving. It means there are tasks that you are taking on that show that there is a labor in a particular direction. Two is that you have substance that you are giving. So a servant is one who serves, sweeping. A servant is also someone who serves. Are you with me? So he sweeps as service, but he also serves you food. Are you with me? So there is the service of activities, and then there is the service of substance. Do you need more explanation? If you get into a canteen or a restaurant in the morning, the people who serve in that canteen, they start with activity. They do things. He sweeps. They clean the chairs. Am I right? In some standard eateries, it's every day they clean the glass in the window. That's how they serve. Those things that they are doing and do not directly impact on the people who come to the restaurant. The clean of the window doesn't fill your stomach. The room called a restaurant is about feeding people. Are you with me? But the cleaning of the window does not put food in your stomach. the sweeping of the ground, those are activities in service. But there is also a substance that is expected to be served, called what? Food. So if all that I do as a servant is sweep and clean chairs and clean glass, then people come because they see a clean environment, and then they come to sit, and I am not giving them substance, I have failed. The average teacher's creatures is only a server of activities. He doesn't serve substance. So he can stand on stage with his nice colored suit or his well-starred native, and his basic expression is that he's covering a 45-minute period so that people are not bored, but he's not giving them anything. So he cracks a joke. At least they know that they did not experience 45 minutes silence in church. But they cannot go home to say, I received of the Lord today. So what will make them grow is not received. He's only a master of land clearing. He's cleaning windows. He's sweeping the ground. He can sing a song. He can excite them. But there is nothing of the expected that they are receiving from him. We can call him a servant, but it's not a profitable one, because the profit in going into an eatery is not primarily to see a clean place, it is to be fed. Are you with me? So I said, whichever stream of ministry you find yourself, and for the purposes of this gathering, it is the teaching ministry. Am I doing something wrong? Okay. The teaching ministry, understand that there are three badges you need to wear. I did a wider teaching on this subject in my sermon, The Able Minister. What are the three badges? First is the badge of a good minister. So every one of us must be a good teacher. A good teacher. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6. You must be a good teacher. It must be a badge that you wear. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, Paul had given a set of instructions to his son Timothy, and he was saying, Timothy, you must engage the assignment of putting your brethren in remembrance. What would he be doing to make them remember? It means it's called the ministry of repetition. God wants you to live holy. God wants you to live holy. God wants you to live holy. And after 2 weeks, he comes back. Maybe now he's teaching on kingdom finance. And he said, even in your pursuit of money, if you think it's a worthwhile pursuit, God wants you to pursue money from a standpoint of holiness. I made a comment yesterday, and I think I need to put a caveat. Anything you do in ministry that is a byproduct of a deficiency in your upbringing will open you up to darkness if you are not careful. Are you with me? For example, there are people who are so emphatic about money and wealth because they grew up poor. Are you with me? Such people stand a greater chance of becoming slaves of mammon and not of Jesus. It may not be poverty. Maybe so you grew up lonely, and then you begin to teach relationships because you grew up lonely. What you are trying to do is not motivated by revelation. It's motivated by a gap in your existence. You will be more open to error than someone who is laboring from an instruction, from a plane of instruction. Are you with me? Maybe somebody didn't live with their parents, they lived with other people, and they served there. When that person comes to teach service, if he's not careful, and maybe they use the person as a slave, when he's trying to say, somebody will be living in your house, and you'll be treating the person somehow, he will extrapolate what the spirit is saying, because he has a wound that is not healed So what we tell people is, when you are bruised, don't do ministry. You will most likely not be accurate. When you feel you are deficient in an area, don't do ministry. You will be one step away from error. Are you with me? Stay away. Stay away. One of the darkest things about the Nigerian church financial teaching is that many of those who are heavy on finances came from very poor backgrounds. So they teach people to make more cost of their soul. I told my wife something this morning. Why did I tell you? I said, Ogbomoso is going to, it's about, I picked it in the spirit. It's about to be the next Abeokuta, where young ministers are going to be wasted on financial grounds. It has begun. But you know, I don't cry wolf. I have a track record of bringing warnings to the body of Christ casually like this, and people who say it's a lie, they wake up after 2-3 years to find out it to be so. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a friend of the Lord by mercy, not because I'm the best, but he has donated his speakings to my ears as an act of mercy, and I am grateful. This is the next zone. There's a financial whirlwind that will bring a lot, and then the land is going to be filled with debtors 2 years if we don't labor right, because the motivation for finance now is poverty. It's not kingdom. Are you with me? I've been there, have come back, and I have proved in a lifetime that those who have strong cravings for money, they pierce their lives with many sorrows. On this path, there is wealth, but those who seek it don't find it. What they reap is a harvest of sorrows. If you want to know what it will look like, you schooled in Abeokuta, but I think you are left before it became very young. There are many ministers in Abeokuta, young, who were taught to be the next new guys on the block. Many of them have left the country. Many of them have gone into hiding because the church suddenly became buoyant, and then boom, in hundreds of millions, they are everywhere hiding, managing to do ministry. By mercy, some of them are safe and still doing ministry, because Jesus said to me, the scars that you have become a covering for a generation. So I know many of these young men face to face. And when trouble comes, sometimes it's a simple call, go to bed, nothing comes near you. My covering is your covering. It's as simple as that. And then the storm comes down. But many of them can no longer do consistent ministry. They do hit and run. And because of that, that land has become opened to strange teaching. And there are new churches coming to take the place of accurate men, because mammon took men out of ministry. Be careful. The life of a man does not consist in the abundance of the things that he has. So that financial thing is just one. Somebody whose heart was broken 10 times, when the lady comes to teach on what men are, she will teach that man has come, which is not a revelation from Jesus. Are you with me? How you know that the motivation is wrong is that there is an insufficiency of scriptures to carry out the teaching. There's so much picking around, so that the motivation of your new state can be a secular model. It means that area of ministry exists, but there is no sending, because he that is sent of God speaketh only, somebody say only the words of God, and to that one is given the spirit without measure. These hands have created more millionaires than I have ever touched physically. Money, my poverty has made people rich, and that's scriptures. So many. Now I'm afraid to even say be wealthy, because I don't know your heart. I was in Owerri, and somebody brought 3 bundles of 100,000. daddy, daddy, take, just bless me. I held his hand here. He was still holding his money. I said, my brother, what do you do for a living? He said, daddy, just bless me. I said, what do you do for a living? He said, daddy, bless me. So I took his wrist and dropped it in the hand of the protocol guy and said, take him away. If I don't know what you do for a living, I know when I say God bless your business, you become a millionaire in less than a year. You will. But I want to be sure that this thing, God will not come back to haunt me, that I caused it. And it's the purity of financial life that births that kind of anointing. So it's not my own thing, it's everybody's thing. And I will not take anything unjustly or take what belongs to another person. I'm not self-marketing. I'm saying you can be at that point where you are a massive blessing because you have taken an oath to live your life in a particular way. Amen. Sorry I had to bring that in, but I think it's right, because I don't know people who have those motivations in the house. So just, you will not be poor. Even if you don't say an amen, you will not be poor. You can't be under this ministry and be poor. But there is a time for everything. In the kingdom, you become wealthy as the nature of Christ is worked into you, so that you do not lose. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So the measurement of how much money you can handle is how much your soul has prospered. Are you with me? All right. So the first badge is what? It's the badge of a good minister. And for the purposes of this class, it's the badge of a good teacher. A good teacher is one who labors in repetitive ministry. He is addicted to bringing understanding, so he goes again and again. Now, the proof of understanding is not knowledge. The proof of understanding is activity. Do you understand how to drive a car? Put the key, turn it, or put the cartridge, press the button, move the car. If you want to go to the left, turn to the left. To the right, turn to the right. You have, and in an automatic transmission, you have only two pedals. You have your brake and your accelerator. So this is A, yes, this is your brake and your accelerator. So it's from the right we count. So it's A and B. If it's a manual transmission, it is A, B, and C. Accelerator, brake, clutch. Have a good day. Does he know how to drive? If you leave him in the middle of the road, that's where you come and pick your cow. He can remember all those things. But you see, they don't even teach how to face a trailer. So if I'm doing driving tests for you, we need to drive to Oyo together. Old road. That trailer at Timbo. This is what you do. Once you see them overtaking themselves at this distance, stop. Because this distance is good enough for an overtaking trailer to cross back to the front of this one. Or quickly put your car in reverse and gain more distance. Just be going back till the trailer crosses, and then you find your way. If you see that it's coming directly, exit your car. Or if the bush beside you can trust the height, drive there. Minimal damage is better than ultimate death. Those things have to be taught. That's how the Holy Ghost teaches. Step by step, step by step. So the teaching ministry is hard. It doesn't end with a good sermon. When I get home, I ask myself, what questions came up in their hearts? That's why we have sermon series. If not, I can read my script to you. You will go home, your books will be filled up. You still be struggling. A good teacher brings remembrance. He repeats what he has said over seasons. I mean, across seasons and during seasons. Two, there is also him that we call an able minister. 2 Corinthians 3:6. That's the second batch. So there's a good teacher. There's also an able teacher. Go to verse 4. And let's read from there. Thank you. I don't want to go too far. So let's do five. Five. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. You need a good picture of this verse before you can accurately understand what Paul is saying. The key word there is not sufficient. The key word that brings understanding here is the word of. Come, stand here. Face them. So let's imagine that your assignment is to show them the back of this phone. It says, not in Paris. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you want to see. Paul is saying, his Paul, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Of there means out of or sourced in. So you have a phone with you. No, stay here. It's better. Dip your hand in your pocket and show them a phone that has "not in Paris" written on its back cover. Do it. Can you? It means that the phone, what he needs to show, cannot be sourced in him. That's where the story begins. It means what is required cannot be drawn from within ourselves. Are you with me? So a man who thinks that he's very cerebral, I know scriptures very well, is on a path of error, because he's not supposed to be sufficient. His study cannot communicate that sufficiency. A minister is a dependent man. A minister is a reliant man. A minister is a leaning man. So he is not sufficient. He cannot bring forth out of himself to think as of himself. It means the second part is that, because if I can bring out this phone, it means I can out of myself bring this out. My perception about myself is that I can do this thing well. Production gives appraisal. But he's saying, because I can't bring out a phone to show you, I will not appraise, bring forth appraisal out of myself, that I know what I'm doing. The one who supplies the sufficiency is also the one who appraises. Are you with me? So not that we are sufficient of ourselves as to think anything out of ourselves or as being of us. So you can't even rate yourself that I'm bad. Please sit down. They say that when something is very good, they say it's bad. Abi, say, "Oh my, bad girl." Those utterances are not captured in the utterance of a minister of Christ. You cannot boast in what you received. It must go to the giver. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, right? And glorify who? Your Father. Because Jesus said that the works that I do are not my works. It is the Father that does them. You are only a glove. But a glove in medical practice cannot perform a cesarean section operation. Can it? You have seen glove that just went into the theater and started cutting. Even the woman they want to help, we say no. What empowers the glove is that there is a hand. So the glory of performance is to the hand, because the hand is what connects to the brain. The glove just helps to make contact. God is spirit, and in making contact with a material world, he needs a material man. Are you with me? So one of the reasons why you are given a body is so that your body becomes a gift to God in the day he wants to touch the material world. Touch my hand. If this hand was paining me, and because these hands can heal, the Bible says you shall lay hands on the sick. Now go ahead, and I shall recover. What moves through your hands is the energies of God. But because His Spirit, He can't touch me. So He needs something that is exactly like my hand, material, so that we can touch. So that's the first verse. Now let's go to verse 6. It says, but our sufficiency is of God. And in case you are arguing, is my sufficiency really from God? Paul goes ahead to give us what he meant by your sufficiency being of God. He said, who also, among many things, hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. So, an able minister or an able teacher is an endued teacher. Tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued. Someone who has been empowered. So the difference between a regular teacher of the word and an able teacher is that the teacher, just like the word able, is operating with ability. And when we speak of ability spiritually, we are speaking of the economy of gifts. He's a gifted teacher. And because he operates by gifts, he can glory. It means what makes A different from B is gifting. Are you with me? So you can only be grateful. You cannot be boastful. Because no man hath received anything save he be given unto him by God. So the one who gave will always take the glory. That's how I began in the learning yesterday. The subject was thy kingdom come. And I said, when Jesus said to his disciples, thy kingdom come, he was not telling them to invite the kingdom of God. Read through the rest of his teachings. That's not the essence of the prayer. This kingdom is an invisible kingdom. So he was not telling them, let it drop from heaven. He has established unto them that the kingdom of God does not come by observation. He said the kingdom of God is where? In you. He said is in you. He didn't say will be in you. So when we pray thy kingdom come, it is a cry for consciousness and not a cry for reception. The day you got saved, I told them yesterday, the day you got saved, you received of God many things. The Holy Spirit, the life of God. One of the other things you received is a kingdom. So that kingdom is already there. You can't invite the Holy Spirit to come if it's already there. Abby? So you have received the kingdom. When they were not saved, Jesus said, fear not, little children, for it is the joy of the Father to give you the kingdom. In Hebrews 11:28, what did he say? Wherefore, seeing that we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace. So the kingdom of God came into you immediately, because the kingdom of God is primarily the governmental influence of God. The Holy Spirit started running your life the day you got saved. So you have the kingdom. And his assignment is to make your life a territory where the reign of God finds no resistance. So a kingdom came in, but he's still producing a kingdom. So when we say that kingdom come, we are saying, bring us into the consciousness that there is a king here. So there are things you want to do that you can no longer do, because now it's in your mind that there's a king. Make tangible what is already there. I gave an example before I continue. If you, who stays together here? Any two of us that stays together in the same room? Okay. Who stays with you? Okay, both of you. Are you brothers? Somehow, sir. Okay, you are brothers. Good. So, if you come into the room, what's your name, sir? Bode. So, if Bode comes in and says, who cooks? Both of you. Who cooks better? He says, you are the one. Are we sure? So, sisters, that's a good cook there. Amen. So, but he comes into the building, into the room, and he cooks. And then you come in. Maybe there's a way he has mastered how to cover the pot, that the aroma is trapped. And then you come in and say, somebody had been in this room before, and somebody is hungry now. And you keep walking around. The fact that you don't know or you cannot perceive the meal does not mean that food is not ready. But he now needs to tell you, why are you grumbling? Go and check the pot. When you now get to the pot, you see, your approach to the pot does not put food in the pot. It was there before you came. Jesus' issue was that the average person who has received the kingdom is oblivious, is ignorant of the presence of the kingdom, because we were raised to perceive only the tangible. We could not fellowship with the invisible. So that if you have a need, like the needs that follow, right? Like, give us this day our daily bread. You will trust Bode more for your daily bread than trust God. Why? Because you can see him. But if you become very conscious of the invisible yet tangible, you will mutter under your breath, Lord, please meet my need. And he will meet your need, because he's there. Are you with me? System. But this kingdom of God also has a feeding system that you may not be conscious of, if a king that sits there and he exists to carry out things, but you will not maximize that he is there. So Jesus said, die. Somebody say, no, but you know, the coming kingdom, there are many things we have taught. I found out studying yesterday that thy kingdom come and thy will be done are two detached statements in prayer. Give me the verses. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Our Father which art in heaven, what do you call those things now? Punctuation, what do you see? A comma. It means the statement is continuing. Hallowed be thy name. Next line. Thy kingdom come. End of discussion. It's a detached request in prayer. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in the earth, is another complete statement. They are detached realities in prayer. Are you with me? So, what are you against? Me too, I'm still learning. But I'm saying that the next layer after the first badge will be what? Will be that beyond being a good teacher is that you be an able teacher. You must labor for ability. Ask, give me the ability to teach. Empower me to teach. So that's a prayer you must always pray. Even in studying the Bible, give me the ability to understand. Empower me to understand. He's always there. From Sunday, we learned that he is omnipresent, just as God, but his manifest presence will be by subscription. So you must subscribe. The third, as introduced in the Pauline teachings, is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. Ephesians 6, verse 21. Jerry, what you will do so that our audience can follow well is, at a point, I will tell you to break them, so that we'll have a one and a two, so it's not too long. But let's flow now. So, but that he also may know, let's go from 19. You should help us. 19. And for me, that's prayer now. 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He did not say with the Spirit. What's the difference? Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What does it mean? Anybody? Quickly. What do you understand by it? I need a microphone. It's a class. So, thank you, Jerry. God bless you. Okay, we have one here. Is he on? It's not on, child. Okay. So, who understands what Paul means by praying in the Spirit? Anybody? We are now. Okay. We have So you just give us your name and then you answer. That's all. It's a class students. You may qualify him to go and preach somewhere. Okay.
My name is Olasukomi. What I understand by that verse is actually location, by saying in supplication in the spirit.
Okay, so he says it suggests a location, accurate, but 50%, because it means two things. So 50% is what? It's not too bad. So, but he gave us a complete half. So I said 50%. So when you are praying the spirit, your location must be in the spirit. What's the second thing? Anybody? Purity, you want to try? Or you give it to her?
The spirit is like as led by the spirit.
Or
as powered by the spirit.
Awesome. So as led, as powered, and the leadings and the empowerment are advertisements of government. Leading and empowerment are advertisements of government. So you must pray. When praying in the spirit, it is as governed by the spirit. So he leads you in the prayer, he empowers you for the prayer, and he becomes the vessel in which you are praying. So it's a prayer in reality, because you are in a spirit, in the spirit environment. Amen. So two of them is called 100%, because we have added together. That's what church looks like. Every joint supplying. Now, I decided to go that way because when we say, can we begin to pray in the spirit? What will people begin to pray? They begin to pray tongues. You can pray in the spirit with tongues or with your understanding. So the spirit can govern you, can empower you, can give you an environment where you are praying in a language you understand. Are you with me? It can be Yoruba, it can be Igbo, it can be Hausa, it can be Fufude, it can be Nupe, it can be whatever language. But you are in a spirit environment. Your motions in prayer are controlled by the spirit, led by the spirit, and empowered by the spirit. So that's what Paul was saying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. What he's saying to us that is that prayer is a spiritual thing. Are you with me? In the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for who? All saints. And for me. It means amongst all saints, this is my own prayer point. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. So when you see Paul speak the way he speaks because he operates by a gift. What gift is that? The gift of utterance. It's the ability to put things that are hosted in the spirit into a human language. Utterance. So every teacher must operate by the gift of utterance, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So you see that the preaching of the gospel is not supposed to be mysterious. It came as a mystery, but the assignment of Paul as a teacher is to do what? To make it known. The word there is to reveal, to uncover, to occasion the discovery of the mystery. To take the cover from the pot to show that there's fried rice inside. Let's go on. For I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to. So every time you are preaching or teaching, understand that there is a ought to. There is a way God wants it to be said. There is what God wants to be said. There is how much God wants to be said. So there are measurements, depth, height, and length, breadth, and height. So there's a measurement for when people have clapped. You need to go back and check the measurement. It may be too short. Instead of height, it may be fat. But okay, let's finish verse 21. Verse 20 rather, then we come to 21. as I ought to speak, full stop, good, so. But that he also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall reveal, make known to you all things. Why was it possible, or how was it possible for Tychicus to make known to the brethren the Paul's affairs and how he was doing? Who knows? Because Paul was not in Ephesus when he was writing. Where was he? Was in prison. So how can Tychicus make known to the Ephesian church Paul's affairs and how Paul was doing? Where was Tychicus? Anybody? If you are in Lagos and I'm sending Bolu to you, that also so that Bolu can make known to you my affairs and how I am doing, where is Bolu? Bolu is here with me. So Tychicus was the beloved brother who was ministering to Paul in prison. He was the one, either maybe not in chains with him, but who was going to visit him again and again. He was part of the bonds of Paul. And there were times when Paul was not in regular prison. In his last few days, he was not in regular prison. He was on what in modern day we call house arrest. So you can't leave this two bedroom. So he walks around, because after a while he became a political prisoner of some sort, you know, an elite prisoner. Now he could interface with kings and people like that. So they just locked him in a room. Now you're a troublemaker, you won't leave. But there were people who stayed with him. That was how John, Mark could come to him, how Luke could come, how Timothy could come and sit down there with him. So Tychicus was his co-prisoner, whether in bounds, but in service he was. So he's saying, this one was with me. It means that Tychicus was serving under duress. So a faithful minister is the one who sustains ministry in spite of resistance. He knows that even though he's sick, he must do his work. Are you with me? He knows that even if he has not eaten for 2 days, he must do his work. He knows that abundance or scarcity is not designed to impact. If not, he will still be a minister, but he will lose the badge of faithfulness. Because faithfulness only becomes important when stress is added to work. So that's the third badge. Is that you will labor even when the conditions are not good. You keep laboring uncompromisingly and without complaint. My cry to the Lord is that he will send us help in the name of Jesus. The faithful minister of the word. How many minutes, Jerry, are we gone? An hour plus. So you can cut off. So you can cut off. You can cut off.
I believe that you've been blessed by God's word from the mouth of His choice servant, the Reverend Tolu Alugu Agboola. To get more of this nourishment for your spirit, you can follow us on social media at HWCN Global on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Mixlr, and Telegram. You can also follow all our services live on any of these social media platforms. Keep doing the word. Keep being a fair worshipper. God bless you.